The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Right. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from midday with Darren Owen, Craig Forsyth and Gary Capewell in the studio. Some good jumping to look forward to this weekend with Foslas, Sandown and Weatherby all hosting good cards. There's all weather racing at Linkfield as well, so four meetings to look ahead to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me on the line to look at the action is Catherine Fry. How are you, Catherine?
Yeah, good, thanks Mark. You all right?
Yes, not too bad at all, thank you. I say three good meetings to look forward to.
Fingers crossed.
Possibly, yes. All three jumps meetings with inspections this weekend. I believe that Foslas inspect at 7:30, Sandown 7:45, and Weatherby 8 a.m. on Saturday. So it could be a disaster, or it could be okay. But this weather's causing quite a few problems at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty desperate. I know we were just having a chat there off air about everything. I mean, it hasn't stopped raining here for weeks. I can't remember the last time that we had a day without rain here in Cheltenham. Guess all of you watching Trials Day last week would have seen that storm we had. That was quite extreme, but we've had rain, you know, without the thunder, we've had rainstorms like that every day. And I was only saying the other day to people, you know, we're not really that far away from Somerset here, and you've got villages in Somerset that have been cut off for weeks. And yeah, it's pretty desperate, isn't it? The wettest January on record or something like that.
Is it? Is it really?
Something like that. Yeah, since records began.
It's wet enough anyway.
Yeah.
it was like the end of the world last week. I mean, first of all, there was thunderstorms and heavy rain, and then big bucks got beaten, so... So it's almost like the end of the world happening this week.
Yeah, so I think that clap of thunder sort of pretty, so you just heard lots of gasps. You know, they were pretty. I didn't go to town last week, so obviously, as everyone knows, I injured my hand. So I was at home nursing my hand, and it actually knocked out our Sky signal. The storm was that bad, so I was like, ah, so I had to quickly sort of get the iPad out and get RUK up on there. But yeah, no, it was pretty bad storm, and you could just before the Sky signal cut the first crack of thunder, you could just hear these audible gasps from the crowd on the TV.
So am I right in thinking that you let a broken thumb stop you going to Cheltenham?
Mark, the pain was the absolute.
Oh dear!
Because they had to keep draining the blood off. They couldn't.
Graphic.
Yeah, they couldn't strap it properly. So it was kind of just in a very loose dressing, and it was pretty worst like. But honestly, I've broken fingers, broken toes. Luckily, not ever as bad as you, Mark, with a broken leg. Touch wood. But I have to say, the pain from that was incredible.
Fair enough. Well, let's move swiftly on from that.
Definitely.
And let's look ahead to Saturday's racing then. Catherine, you've picked out racing at Foslas and Sandown, the Scilly Isles being the feature at Sandown. Unfortunately, only three runners in the race, but plenty to look at anyway. And a couple at Foslas as well, the Welsh Champion Hurdle and the West Wales National. So if it goes ahead, good racing to look forward to.
It is. I really hope this goes ahead. Obviously, we've got the All Chase card at Sandown now, but it's such a shame that we lost that. What would have been a fascinating class between Melodic Rendezvous and Underskew, we would have sort of seen really of how good is Underskew. We're not going to get to see that now. But yeah, no, it's a good day's racing. Hope it does go ahead. There's a couple of races at Foslas that interest me greatly, and obviously you've got the Sandown card. You just wonder, is Sandown, is it going to be like, do you remember that Saturday before the festival last year where the ground was like a ploughed field?
Yeah.
You just wonder, is it going to be like that? So, yeah, well, let's hope so.
Okay. Right, we'll start with the action at Foslas, I think, and then we'll move on to Sandown.
Yeah.
So we'll start in the 2:05, which is the Welsh Champion Hurdle, a limited handicap over 2.5 miles, and an interesting race to kick off here because we've got Whisper, who won very convincingly last time at Newbury in a handicap hurdle there, won by 8 lengths, I think it was. 7 lengths ahead of Patisse in a convincing performance. We've also got Safir de Ruin there as well, who's been transformed of late. He won that Potemps Network hurdle qualifier at Sandown, and then won the Lanzarote hurdle as well, and he's won both in pretty facile fashion. So do you see it between those two quickly improving horses?
Obviously, Safir de Ruin, I mean, he's been talked about in world hurdle terms now, isn't he? Can understand that. I don't know whether he's just... I know Harry Derham takes off the 5, so effectively, look, he's carrying 11-5. I just think there's... the fact that he's in this, I think it's put Whisper and Elevan on very nice rates. If we talk about Whisper first, so he's course and distance winner at Foss Lass. This horse was running very, very well in handicaps, carrying sort of top weight. He beat Valdez at Cheltenham in April. Now, the official ground description for that meeting was good to soft, but I would have it sort of... I thought it was on the heavy side for the April meetings, to be honest with you. Again, we'd like all season really, and we'd had a lot of rain going into that. So Whisper beat Valdez in a novice's hurdle. Behind him, he also had Anacotti and he had Puffin Billy. Now, Valdez is obviously being talked about in Arkle terms now. Anacotti, you could say, didn't really have that much opposition in his Grade 1 win at Kempton at Christmas. But you can't crab what he went and did at Cheltenham last weekend. I thought that was an amazing effort under top weight. And only sort of just went down. Showed a very, very brave horse in good heart. So Whisper kicked off his season at the open meeting at Cheltenham. A very good third to Thomas Grapper in the intermediate handicap hurdle over 2.5 miles. I thought he ran an absolute blinder under a welter burden, really, of 11 stone 12. He then was third to Safir de Ruin at Sandown. Again, he was carrying 11-10. Safir de Ruin was on 11 stone that day, and then was pretty impressive when he slammed Patisse in heavy ground at Newbury at the end of December. I've always thought, this horse has got a very nice handicap in him. He's been on my watch list all season. I think conditions will be perfect for him. Shown his liking for Foss Lass in the past. He's on 10-13. My one concern is obviously there a lot's being talked about the stable form. Obviously, Nicky Henderson is saying that he doesn't have the virus, but I just don't know. I've got a bit of a query in my own mind about that. Another horse that interests me an awful lot, and I think I'm not sure what his end target would be. Wouldn't be surprised if they are looking at something like the county hurdle with him, is Elevan of John Joe O'Neill's. Now, this horse was actually third in the Triumph, I believe. Yeah, third in the Triumph to Soldatino in 2010. He's a heavy ground winner in Ireland. He was also sixth in the county in 2011 when Final Approach just edged out Get Me Out of Here. He was then trained by Edward O'Grady. Showed sort of signs, really. I mean, he came back 7th of December, 8th, and then was 14th in a race, the Ladbrook, obviously, which was run on horrendous ground at Ascot just before Christmas. There was a hilarious piece of commentary by Richard Hoyles in that, as they sort of approached the second last. I think, bless him, he just couldn't see a thing, and people, you know, every horse and rider was splattered with mud, and in the middle of his commentary he was like, and there's a very muddy horse on the inside. Just absolutely cracked me up. And then just sign of a return to form there, Wincanton last time out, second quick decision. I think this horse remains very well handicapped on his old form. Talking about a horse that he used to contest the likes of Hurricane Fly. I remember seeing this fella over in Punchestown finishing fifth to Hurricane Fly in a Rabobank. He's very, very interesting. Have you got this race priced up at all yet, Mark?
It's a good question. I will have a look, if you bear with me a second. No.
Short answer.
Yes.
Yeah, The jury's out for me on Swinnymore at the moment. Obviously, the form of the yard again. a lot's been made of that. You've had a couple of Rebecca Curtis's runners. When I was doing the pod with Alex last week, had a bit of a chat about that. You had 2 weeks ago Gus McRae running no sort of race at Ascot. You had a Phelan's Boy pulling up at Haydock that was found to have scoped dirty afterwards. Just a little bit worried about the form of the race, and I'm not convinced that Cinnamore has ever been really the same horse since he took that crashing four when he won the big Grade One Juvenile down at Chepstow. Can't crab his ninth really to R. Connor in the Triumph, considering the way the Triumph form is working out. But he was sort of beaten 46 lengths in that, and fell again at Chepstow on his reappearance, his first run for Rebecca Curtis, and just isn't really showing the horse that we thought it would be. Home Run, I just wonder, is he sort of, he was very progressive, obviously. He won a conditional jockey's hurdle at Cheltenham at the Open meeting, ran an absolute blinder behind More of That at Haydock, was then second to Sapphire Duray at Sandown, and then sort of the last time out at Kempton, I just wonder if sort of things started to really take their toll. I just think this is a fascinating contest, really hope it goes ahead. On all known form, and the fact that I have been watching him for a while, I would side with Whisper.
Okay, then Whisper in the Welsh Champion Hurdle has nine and a quarter lengths to make up with Sapphire de Roux on that Sandown running a couple of starts ago. I suppose the one thing that's in Whisper's favour is that he has won on heavy ground in the past, whereas Sapphire de Roux hasn't.
So. Yeah, absolutely, he has. I mean, the ground was pretty desperate at Newbury before. Before Christmas, and obviously he's a Foslas winner, and we all know that the ground of Foslas never really gets anything other than heavy or soft, really.
Yeah. Okay, so Whisper then in the 205. On to the 240 next, which is the West Wales National Handicap Chase, Class 2 Handicap Chase, over 3 miles and 4 furlongs. And Mountainous comes into this in good form. He won the Welsh National last time we saw him, which is obviously a Grade 3 handicap, so... similar kind of conditions here today as well, and 3.5 miles in very testing ground. It's going to be who can stay the best here, isn't it? So who's caught your eye for the 240?
Obviously Mountainous. I mean, if you look, I mean, Mountainous won the Welsh National off 10 stone, carries 11.9 now in this. The good thing about this race is when I saw, I had a brief look through the form, there's an awful lot of them that will handle the going. So that's good for them, at least. I know that Sol, I believe that this is his second preference. We all remember Sol winning at Sandown the weekend before the festival last year, when the ground was absolutely desperate, and it's pretty much going to be like that tomorrow. But his first preference is Sandown. There is a horse in here that really does take my eye. I have concerns about his jumping, though, and that is Smoking Aces. Obviously, his jumping last time out in the Sussex National really, really did let him down. This horse has got heavy form from when he was in Ireland, won at Fairy House on heavy going. And he's just, I know he's out of the handicap, but he looks to me that sort of typical John Joe O'Neill staying handicap chaser. He's got the blinkers back on. And, you know, Richie McLernan is very, very good at switching a horse off and just letting him pop away out the back. He's sort of, you've seen him do that to effect when he won the Summer National at Uttoxeter. And you saw him doing, you know, he's improved John's spirits, jumping no end, obviously just popped him out the back at the showcase meeting and in the Paddy Power, lets the horse pop away, get their confidence. I think he's a very, very interesting horse in this. It's a pity that Sol's first preference is Sandown. Of course, I can understand that. But if he did line up here, if Sandown, obviously if Foslas survives and Sandown doesn't, he would be very, very interesting. Obviously, he was seventh in the Grand National. And it's what he is. I mean, he's just your old-fashioned stayer who just loves the mud. The ground was a bit quick for him at Sandown. at the beginning of December. I'd say the ground had gone a bit, even though the official ground description at Aintree for the Grand National meeting was good to soft. I think by the time that the Grand National was run, it was good. But talking about a horse here that his record on soft or heavy is unbelievable. He won his point to points in Ireland on pretty testing ground. He was with Willie Mullins for a bit. You know, you've got him winning at Down Royal in heavy ground, his second at Punchestown in heavy ground, and a win at Sandown in heavy ground. I think he's fascinating if he lines up here. Mountainous, look, yeah, you have to bring him into consideration. Another horse that absolutely loves heavy ground. And like you say, Welsh National winner. I mean, look at the horses that he kind of had behind him, the likes of Tidal Bay. But look, he won the Welsh National off of 137, goes up to 144, carries the weight for it. You've got horses in here. I think Junior has got, he's shown signs that he is coming back to form, but I think he's got an awful lot of weight here in this ground. Hunter's Lodge, obviously he won the amateur riders chase at the showcase meeting under a lovely ride, and I don't actually know his first name. Mr. J. Bargary, I thought he gave him an absolute peach of a ride then. He's a heavy ground winner. Won at the Uttoxeter last year in desperate ground after the festival. I'm going to side with Smoking Aces purely because he's on an absolute featherweight on 10-1. He's got the blinkers back on. No, of course they would have taken him home and worked on his jumping, but this is kind of like his last chance saloon for me, because if he can't win this, obviously, look, he's got the Welsh National winner to beat. He's got a former Cheltenham Festival winner to beat. But there's a race in him.
Okay. Smoking Aces then in the West Wales National. And then over to Sandown we go for the third race of this podcast. And this is the Grade 1 Scilly Isles Novices Chase, which is a Grade 1 over 2.5 miles. Only three of them in the lineup here, and Oscar Whiskey will be the favourite, I imagine. He comes here in pretty good form. He won at Cheltenham in a Novices Chase back in December, and then won the Dipper Novices Chase last time, getting the better of Takanasu, and those two pulling well clear. That form looks pretty good so far, and he's very much on the up over fences.
He is, definitely. I'm so glad that to me they kind of went the fences a bit late with him. They were obviously always trying to win a world hurdle with him. That attempt failed twice. It's amazing that he was almost written off after pulling up in the world hurdle again last season, and then coming fourth to Zarkander at Aintree, he was almost being written off. There was absolutely no disgrace in that run, considering what he faced in the world hurdle. You know, look, he was beaten by Zarkander, the new one, and Thousand Stars. I didn't see any disgrace in that run. It was almost like, oh, that's Oscar Whiskey done with. Absolutely delighted to see him flourish over fences. People were saying, oh, this horse isn't going to make a chase. I couldn't see why, to be honest, Mark. I always wanted him to go over fences because, look, he's never going to be your Queen Mother horse. He's never going to be your Gold Cup horse. But to me, he's a type of horse. I know people don't particularly like the contest. He's a type of horse that could win the Ryanair three times on the bounce. Whatever you say about the Ryanair, it's a Grade 1 contest. If we start with his first chase win at Cheltenham, obviously when he beat, when Takanasu beat him, it was very a tactical affair. Nicky Henderson showed his disapproval, shall we say, for the race afterwards. His comment to the press was, obviously I can't repeat it on here, but was quite amusing. But I could understand it, really, because it was a strange race. It was a very tactical affair. He did blunder at the first, but to be honest, that was really the only mistake he made. And look, he's overturned Takanasu on New Year's Day. I thought that was an absolutely mighty performance. He never looked in danger. I've said it before. I think the Racing Post comment really says enough. That the last comment is always doing enough, and he did. He always had him held. He never looked in danger. They came home 14 lengths clear of close house. I think this fella's an absolute. I know it sounds ridiculous to talk about a shoo-in for the festival, but I'm absolutely all over this horse for the JLT, obviously the Old Juice. And Wonderful Charm obviously failed to give him £8 at Cheltenham in December. There was no disgrace from either horse. He's just a horse that's really come to himself over fences. He's really got his confidence now in his jumping, and it's wonderful to see. Look at his hurdle record. You know, it was absolutely unbelievable. The only time that he ever sort of disappointed was when he couldn't, you know, he blatantly wasn't a 3-mile hurdler. You know, to see him fold up the hill so many times, and you know, he'd come there cruising into the second last, and then just stop as if he was shot. It was quite sad to see, really. To me, the most obvious thing, again, I mean, if this was my horse, I'd have never taken him back to the World Hurdle after what happened the first time in 2012, and there was just such an obvious thing that was never going to happen, was when he couldn't get past Rev de Sivola in the Cleve Hurdle of 2013. And I remember saying at the time, a horse of Oscar Whiskey's class, look, I know Rev de Sivola is a good horse in his own right, he's a grade one winner, but a horse of Oscar Whiskey's class, if he was ever going to get the 3 miles, that would have taken him past Rev de Sivola. They're talking about a horse that was third in the Champion Hurdle to Hurricane Fly, you know, and Aintree. He went on to Aintree. Obviously, we're talking, you know, a couple of years ago, went on to Aintree and won the Aintree Hurdle. You know, he's a multiple group one winner over hurdles. I think he's the classiest horse in the field here. I think he's an absolutely standout price for the JLT at the moment. I think there's value in his price. If we're going to talk about the other runners, Many Rivers to Cross, she started his season off with a win at Exeter, beaten 30 lengths by Hinterland at Sandown in December in the Grade 1 contest. It's the form of, you have to be, I don't want to be backing, I wouldn't be backing him in this, but I don't want to be backing any of Valen King's horses until they're really backfiring. I know Valdez won on Saturday, but I want to see how each individual horse is performing before we even start to back them again. I think there's been some in the stable that have been more badly affected than others, but again, I think each of them has a question mark, not because of their, you know, any question of their ability, but of obviously of the virus. And then the top one, Paul Nicholls' horse, Benvolio, I don't think you can understand them, you know, lining up here. He's done absolutely nothing wrong. We'll love the conditions as a heavy ground winner at Haydock in the middle of January, but I haven't seen anything in his form to suggest that he can overturn with Oscar Whiskey. So, look, you know, Mark was talking a prohibitive price, but the answer is Oscar Whiskey.
Okay, Oscar Whiskey then, and if he wins that on Saturday, like I said, it's a prohibitive price. It may affect his price for the JLT Novices Chase, though, so anybody wanting to back him for that, he's currently 8-1 before that race. He may well shorten afterwards. It's currently 6-1 joint favourites with Champagne Fever and Wonderful Charm. They're both 6-1. Felix Younger is 8, as is Oscar Whiskey and Takander Sue and Vukovar, and then it's 10-1 barring those. One thing about Oscar Whiskey going to the JLT Novices Chase is that he'll actually get to run at Cheltenham over his optimum trip, which is nice.
Yeah.
Because obviously, like you say, the World Hurdles just stretched him that little bit, didn't it?
So. Yeah, it did, yeah. I wouldn't mind actually a double on Oscar Whiskey winning the JLT this year and the Ryanair next year. I'm so glad that he's finally got to go chasing and prove that he can do it. And you know, look, Cheltenham's not an easy course to look. Obviously, he loved Cheltenham anyway. From that was obvious from his days as a hurdler. But it tests you as a chaser, and he made one mistake, which you can forgive him. You know, when he got beaten by Tack and Desoy. But other than that, he's looked wonderful around those fences. So yeah, happy for him.
Good. Let's just have a quick summary then, if you wouldn't mind, Catherine. Will you spin us through your three selections one more time?
Yeah, of course. Obviously, fully respect Safford Array in the Welsh Champion Hurdle, but my selection will be Whisper. Keep an eye on Alevan, because there's a race in him for sure. In the West Wales National, I will be going, it's the last chance saloon, it's his last chance for me, and that is Smoking Aces, but I fully believe that there is a big handicap chase in this horse. And then in the Silly Isles chase at Sandown, it will be with, I hate putting up such short five favourites, but look, I can't see passing Mark. It's Oscar Whiskey.
Okay. Good stuff, Catherine. Thank you very much for speaking to us once again, and enjoy Saturday's racing.
You too. Thanks a lot.
So there you go, the thoughts of Catherine Fry on Saturday's racing. Then you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from midday with Darren Owen, Craig Forsyth and Gary Capewell in the studio. Hopefully we'll see action from Fosslass, Sandown and Weatherby, because three good jumps meetings in prospect there. And there's also all-weather racing at Lingfield as well. So tune in to Racing Radio for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.